Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the ring and the stories they decide to tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You got Matt, and you also have Jake. And today, we are going to talk about WWE and all the stuff that's been going on in the land of Triple H's WWE, because we just wrapped up Backlash. Things happened. Stuff occurred. Fellas, you want to just jump right into it, or you want to do some pre-talk? Up to you guys.
We've been pre-talking all damn week. Let's get down to business. Let's not Jake, make you wanna, these people wait.
Jake, you agree with
Jake
Matt?
Jake need coffee talk?
Do you need coffee talk, Jake?
I thought we could have some coffee talk.
Do you need to be fluffed?
Some coffee.
You need to be fluffed over there, warmed up a little bit before we get intimate.
Loosen my pickle jar, big boy. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
And if you haven't watched our TNA episode where you will understand where the pickle references come from, you should probably go and check that out. And if you happen to watch that and you stayed for that, drop some pickles in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. And some mate too. Pickles and mate. The best
we
combination.
We want to see your pickles and meat.
Pickles and mate. That's what we're all about in Rebook. Pickles and mate.
This show's gone off the rails. All right,
man. Oh, man, amazing.
I don't even know what we do anymore. What do we even do?
We talk about wrestling storylines.
Oh,
so
that's
let's go
right.
ahead
that's
and do
right.
it. Now, a lot has happened. So we're not going to do narrative notes for WWE this week. And we're going to just try some different things. We're just going to yap. We're just going to talk about what we saw, what we're excited for, what we're looking forward to, all that good stuff. So let's start things off with our first point of conversation, which, of course, is Backlash. Just wrapped up. Gotta say, exciting show, like all things considered, because I was not excited for this at all. I had no hype for it whatsoever.
Really.
And then I was watching it. I was like, oh, hey, this was pretty fun. Some cool things happened. We had some cool debuts. We had some shocking results. And I think the first shocking thing was Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is in WWE, fellas. That is what? That is crazy. Jeff Cobb's in WWE. And Matt, for those who might not know, because I love how commentary has been doing a brilliant job of like really displaying who he is. But let's go through it with you as well. Jeff Cobb, what makes this guy so special and why people should be excited to see him in a WWE ring?
I mean, Jeff Cobb, we've seen a lot of people who fit that bill, but I'm just like, dude. He is one of those guys who is built like a tank and has all the power to back it up. He, forgive me for knowing his exact like background. I think he has a lot of competitive either wrestling or weightlifting or both. But he has a strong sports background.
As an amateur wrestler, Cobb represented Guam.
Yeah.
2004
he was like,
Summer Olympics.
The super highest level, like kind of like a Gable level, but like, whereas Gable is like, felt and almost like bodybuilder like at this point, like with all that skill and power. Cobb is he's just a tank, and like I've seen him like catch, like almost like Claudio, he can catch people, throw people, pop them up, lift them up, like base for everything, throw people around. Like he has so much control and like explosiveness. He's one to watch for sure.
Yeah, he's insane.
Go watch some of his new. He's been in New Japan for a very long time, part of Will Ospreay's United Empire for a long time. But like, go watch some of his old PWG stuff. Go watch some of his New Japan stuff just to give yourself a little primer.
Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Yep. He was also in Lucha Underground.
What was his?
Not Montezuma.
He had played a character for a little while, like a mask character that was the foil of the hero of Lucha Underground, one Prince Puma. So we had some fun matches with those guys. This is a big deal. He brings a different kind of style, I think, to WWE. So like, he's a big guy, but he's not like a big guy. You know, he's like a Bronson Reed type,
5'10",
pretty much.
Yeah.
He's
but
a Bronson
he, like,
Reed
he is
type.
Just, dude, he's all muscle.
And you know what?
Like,
also,
he can move.
I'm excited to see, by the way, you know, Solo got another guy in his little faction.
The bloodline continues.
But wait a minute. We know that You know, another guy was kind of left out in the cold after he hurt himself, and Bronson Reed. So there's, I'm excited. I think, it just Jeff Cobb is awesome.
Yeah, but was Bronson Reed a permanent? Was he going to be a permanent?
We don't know. We don't know where that story went.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely see him though running in with LA Knight in the beginning of all this, just because I think that'll be a couple good big matches for him.
Dude, am I the only one who immediately like? I think, again, like I said on last week's show, I think we're going to slow burn with this Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa kind of simmering tension.
Mm.
But somewhere along that line, we got to be getting Jeff Cobb and Jacob Fatu in a WWE ring, which, talk about all gas, no brakes. Jeff Cobb lives up to that kind of mantra, too. Those two would tear it up.
It would be awesome.
Oh, his... his wrist take.
Oh, it
I thought he was an amputee. Yeah, it disappears into the crowd. I thought he was. I was like, wait, what the hell? I was so confused by that.
Yeah.
Mediocre photographic forgery. He cut off his brother's hair. Come on, Back to the Future. Come
to
on.
To be fair, yes. Anyway. This match was awesome, though. This was a good one.
It was a lot of fun.
I think we all kind of like expected it going into it just because of the four men that were involved in. I think we said it in the predictions episode. We were like, this is going to be a good match. So, but we knew Jacob Fatu was going to come out and win it. How that was going to be the case, I think we all had the idea that Solo was going to get involved. As you, to your point, Matt, there is something simmering there between Solo and Jacob. Not much really to dive into yet. We will, of course, be keeping eyes on it. I guess we can get into this one, the Gunther-Pat McAfee matchup that actually, again, we kind of said the same thing. I felt like we're kind of a broken record here, but we were like, we don't think it's going to be Pat McAfee like getting some all this like physicality and all. Like, he's not going to have a wrestling match. It's just going to be more like Gunther just beating the crap out of him. And that's literally what happened. Michael Cole got involved. He had some fun moments there. It was cool. Overall, it was cool. It did what it needed to do, which was give Gunther something to do in the meantime. I guess that's really all there is. Like, I don't know what else they do with that. Right. And that kind of was my problem with it to begin with.
I mean, I think it was clearly a stopgap. You know what I mean? Like, to your point, like, it was something in this meantime to reestablish the dominance of Gunther. Honestly, though, this ended up being one of my favorite segments of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall. It was like, good. Yeah.
On a show, I wasn't hyped for this match in general. I wasn't hyped for the show in general. But this came off, I thought it went a hair long. I think the whole thing probably could have been 3-4 minutes shorter, but it, to your point, I mean, Pat, he had a couple of fired up moments of trying to overcome, but Gunther always quickly with ease shut him back down. And they just played on the emotional relationship between Michael and Pat, which I liked. It added an emotional roller coaster to it. And so it really played out like an extended, like, I thought of it as more of an extended segment as opposed to like a match. Like, this is a scene in a play, right? The great picture.
Yeah.
Great picture describing that. And so it was more about that emotional up and down, and the crowd bit on the moment. Like, Pat tried to step in the sleeper. Like, they took him on that ride, and I thought it was really effective. I think it was pretty self-contained, to your point, GB. I don't think we're going to have some lingering threads here, but it was I thought it was good for what it set out to do.
Yeah. Jake?
Yeah. It was kind of like Michael Cole's kind of like Ali watching McAfee's Macho take on Johnny Lawrence, except it didn't go the way of LaRusso this time. I agree that it kind of went on a little long. I don't know how I feel about McAfee showing up 2 days later on Raw.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted him to sit an episode out, because I feel like they would have done that same thing with any other wrestler. Sure. is kind of what I feel.
Yeah.
I guess my real question is, would you stand up for your fellow announcer, were he attacked by Moose, let's say? Would you defend Hannafin's honor If Moose came and just pushed him right in the face, I feel like Tom might be on his own.
I like Moose, man.
No, hey, come on, cool, man. You know, it's your broadcast partner.
No. I have. During the time when Bully Ray was going after Josh Alexander, and he would come out and he would try to intimidate everybody. He even came out to intimidate us. Kind of stepped to Tom, and I kind of put myself in between. Mm-hmm. I said, "No."
Good man.
So like, what did Frank Costanza call? I stopped short. I put my arm out. I didn't do more than that. Get up and start, you know, swinging on the man.
Held back Hannafin. Maybe Hannafin's the dangerous one.
It could be. Go straight for the knees. You know,
I think one of the things that was good about this, match is, and maybe it's me reading too much into it or whatever, but I'm hoping that part of doing this was Triple H trying to show celebrities that want to be in our world, A, how difficult and painful it can be, and two, that there can be victory in defeat.
Mm.
You know, I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing of like showing, like, all right, Pat, go out there and, you know, show them what makes you different. You're maybe not the technical guy, but you're tough as shit. So let's go out there and show them that. And then, at the same time, like, because I feel like now more than ever, and, you know, Kenny Omega will attest to this, that a lot of celebrities are seemingly wanting to get more involved in wrestling. So if I'm Triple H, and a Travis Scott comes to me and says, I want to step in the ring, I'm going to say, you watch this match first and tell me if you still want to do it.
And, you know, then there's the Bad Bunny of it all that, like, actually came in and was, like, you know, put in the work and was actually really good. And I was genuinely impressed. So, and I was impressed by Pat as well, just because, you know, Gunther was hitting him hard, and there were some, you can't fake that.
His chest afterwards.
Yeah, like those that redness, you know, that's a little bit of hyperventilating and getting your ass kicked. So,
and there were some times when he had that sleeper locked in, Pat's entire like chest up was just beat red. This match was way better than I thought it had any right to be. And I think it was really good. I think stuff after went on a little too long or whatever, but I was surprised, and I really enjoyed Cole's involvement in this, especially because one detail that I noticed on Raw was when New Day was on commentary and Cole was like, "Oh, you cheated to win your titles," and New Day was like, Not 48 hours ago, you cheated in a match too. Yeah, what are you getting on our shit for? And I thought that was genius.
Yeah, that was.
And I
was
loved
really
that little bit of that little detail that New Day brought back into it. But this match was a blast. It was more fun than I thought it was going to be, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, good job by everybody.
I agree. That's my assessment as well. My real thing is just, I don't really think there was much of a point to it, but it's okay. You know, I mean, sometimes the point was
to reestablish Gunther as a monster.
Yeah,
that he is not to be fucked with.
I just think you could have done that with a wrestler, or
and
or maybe
commentary,
or an NXT upstart looking to, you know, get
the one. I will say that I will push back on that a little bit after after watching it and being pleased with it. Two things. One, as we said, just Pat's persona brings some more eyes and attention to it.
Of course.
We know that. But also, there is something to be said. If it was just some NXT, it would just be a wrestling match. And it would be a 70-30 wrestling match with Gunther winning. And this is a more visceral way to like reestablish Gunther is not to be trifled with.
Yeah.
And there's more sympathy on someone like Pat, because even though he's wrestled, he is an announcer. Because
even his tone and tune changed on Raw Monday, where he was like, "Yep, I totally get like standing in the ring with that guy. He's intimidating. He's like it." Like he even put Gunther over on commentary even more.
Yeah.
I think it was an interesting segment, like kind of just establishing where things are with commentary and you know, it's the first time. Like, we even heard Michael Cole say at the beginning of the match, I'm going to be extremely biased. And I thought that that was an interesting little tidbit to add. To add in there. So
it's just, you want to sprinkle authenticity in the moments you can, because we know that WWE is a hyper produced show. So like having those moments, and I think Michael Cole, again, I, for my money, is just one of the greatest commentators to ever put on a headset. Like, the man is incredible, just from his expertise in broadcast journalism, and also his understanding of just good commentary, like what makes good commentary. And he's learned that a lot over the years, right? You go back and watch Michael Cole's old stuff till now, and you see the evolution of a true professional. It really is incredible. I've learned so much in my field listening to Michael Cole do his job. So I think, like, any opportunity where Cole gets a moment to be a bit center in a story, I'm fine with. I was ecstatic about that. I think my only real gripe was post. It was a bit odd how he, to your point, came out 2 days later. It was just like, hey, man, got my ass kicked. It was like, you know, I would have liked it to maybe play in a little bit more, but hey, you know, or they just wanted to do it to just do it and then move on. And sometimes that's just the way it is. And that is also okay too. So overall though, if you enjoyed it and it checked the box for you, I think that's awesome. And again, there were a lot of things in this pay-per-view that you could check the box off and be like, damn, that was enjoyable. Penta versus Dom, another enjoyable match that I was like, you know, didn't really see that one coming. You know, a little bit too much in the interference. And I do want to be clear here. Three of the three matches we spoke about so far all had interference. So, you know, kind of leaning on the trope a little bit too much, sure. But not the end of the world, because it was different. It's one thing if it was like, oh, you know, he comes out and he, you know, low blows. The next guy comes out. Oh, he comes out and he low blows. And it's like, okay, you're reusing something a little too much. But
like, wait, like someone
just walks out low blows. Someone just comes
now
out.
Now I'm just imagining, like I want to go into a Royal Rumble and just hit everyone in the nuts. Like, why hasn't anyone done that?
Actually, real quick, I don't remember what year it was, but do you remember the Royal Rumble where Stone Cold Steve Austin pissed off everyone and they all were like ready to kill him when his music came out and they all turned around to just look at him. I forget what year it was, but anyway, I just think about that when he came in and just started hitting the stunners and kicking people out. I was watching my mom, she was like, why didn't you just go in there and kick him in the nuts and then toss him out? And I was like, you're so right. But then where's the fun in that? Even though, you know, would actually be quite funny. So yeah, in any case,
just Superman punch someone right.
Roman Reigns, Superman dead punch.
You don't want to do that beforehand, that's for sure. So.
Oh man. But yeah, anyway, to that point though, there were some interferences. It wasn't the end of the world. It happened a few times. It's very clear we're getting more Penta, Grande Americano stuff, whatever, and then Dom and Finn. That is gonna happen. Not much else to cover. We'll get to it when it does.
I'm more convinced Americano is not Chad Gable.
Like, this
I'm more convinced than ever.
You really think that it's not Chad Gable?
It's not him. It's not Chad Gable. It's like, not Chad Gable. Like, first, and they're not even in cahoots.
They're not. So the guy who owns a team called American Made is not cahoots with the guy who calls himself a grande cup of coffee.
Coincidental.
That's fair.
Circumstantial evidence, my friend.
Hearsay.
Like, you buy this, Matt? You buying this drivel?
I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Gable, let me ask you this. I have two questions. If Gable and Americano are cahooting, then why didn't he help Chad on Raw this past Monday? And if you're going to say it's because they're the same person, then why does Chad Gable keep losing to luchadors when Americano doesn't?
Well, you know what? Checkmate, liberal.
Checkmate.
So, yes, but could you also say it's because of the metal bar that he keeps sneaking into his mask, Jake? Is that maybe?
What does that have to do with Chad Gable?
You said Grande Americano wins, Chad Gable doesn't. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying because it doesn't have anything to do with him. But
yeah, but Gable can't beat luchadors. Now,
what would you
and
do?
Americano has beaten several.
What happens when we find out that Chad Gable is Grande Americano? What do you do with you when your worldview is shattered?
There has yet to be any proof that it is him.
That's just his body type. His same spray tan, the same gear.
Yes.
It's a pro wrestling show. Everybody's spray tan.
Everybody's got
gear.
A spray tan. Everybody's got the same build and figure. And
as a tan person by nature, you kind of know when, you know, someone's
let me ask you this. Have you seen Americano and Braun Breaker in the same room together? No.
No. I think Braun would kill him. But I don't know. He might just look at him the wrong way,
or maybe he would barricade because they're the same person. I'm just saying, maybe Braun is Americano.
You guys, it's incredible the depths upon which you're trying to gaslight me into believing that that Chad Gable is not Grande. I love this. Keep it going.
Just asking questions,
right?
Just pointing out inconsistencies.
There's no danger, clearly, as we've learned in the 10 years of politics. Just asking questions isn't a bad thing.
Look at his gear. His gear is not. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's not even. Yeah, it's not even colored.
Gear's not even similar.
Shape the same for sure. Fits exactly the same. Yes, but color wise makes it.
Grande Americano is at least 6 inches shorter.
At least six inches shorter.
At least.
That's crazy. So you're saying Chad Gable.
Well, weirdly, if some say he's also 6 inches taller. That's what's so mysterious about him.
No.
That's what's so mysterious about Americana.
We can't. I hate you guys.
He's like a chupacabra. You know, everybody's got a different report about him.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
And like a chupacabra, Grande Americano sucking all the blood out of,
out of goats.
Mexican
out of the goats. Out of the goats.
Out of the goats.
That's what it is.
He's a chupacabra. That's what it is.
He's a luchacabra. Why has no one gone by luchacabra yet?
El luchacabra.
Dude, that's a good name.
That's a killer name.
Marketing gold.
And you could do the mask. Like the chupacabra mask. And it'd be freaky looking, but it would be weird.
Yeah.
He comes out drinking red Kool-Aid every time.
Oh, that would be if Bray Wyatt had become a luchador, he would have been a luchacabra.
He would have done
a whole lore with him and
would have leaned into it for sure. Mm-hmm. That would have been cool. I do want to take a moment to give myself a little credit because I had said that.
Put yourself over here.
I'm not trying to, but there was a certain thing that happened at Backlash. I'm trying to find a picture of it. Guys, R-Truth helped out John Cena in the match, and we literally spoke about this. On Rebooked, we said that when R-Truth, I was like, man, when he did that video, that promo where he was like, that's a real world champion right there. I was like, man, something is going to happen. And it turns out
something happened.
R-Truth came out to help out John Cena, ends up getting hit with an RKO. Fellas, what do we make of this, of the way that this all played out, the ending of Backlash? Jake, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts here?
It was silly, but I'll allow it because it's R-Truth. You know what I mean? Like if it had been anybody else, I would be really frustrated with the ending of that.
Yeah.
But what the hell? Someone just yelled.
I did hear something in the background.
Oh, it's Shauna. I thought you were gone. You scared the shit out of me. Get out of here.
Cameo.
God. I thought she was gone. It scared the shit. I thought somebody was in the house.
Thought little Jimmy was there.
I thought Jimmy was about to talk crap about our truth.
I was like, boys, y'all about to see a fucking fight go down. I don't know. Okay. All right. Anyway, damn. Get the hell out of me. What were we talking about? R-Truth. He's great. Yeah. R-Truth, I think, is the only one that could have been there in that spot to do that. And I think, would you stop yelling R-Truth? I think it's leading to an inevitable match between the two. I think we're just trying to figure out ways to make. Well, because I think we're doing connective tissue to all of Cena's favorite. Like, who are your favorite opponents, Cena? Who do you want to wrestle? And he had what I thought was a really entertaining program with John Cena back in the day when he did the stuff with Little Jimmy and had all those fights. And
Capital Collision.
Yes.
I think it was a one-time only pay-per-view in the summer of 2008 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But like that stuff, that was the best. So I think it's just, I think it's leading to that. I think it'll be like a fun, silly match.
There's feelings that maybe, I think they have an upcoming Saturday night's main event. Cause like, I don't see it as a major PLE main event.
No. Yeah. I don't either.
Saturday night's main event would be a good spot for something like that. Yeah. Because we also did see him, John Cena put Truth through the
table at the press conference. Yeah. So there's got to be some kind of payoff to that. I would think it would be hilarious if, like you said, it's Saturday night's main event or whatever, and Truth thinks it's a title for title match, and he comes out with the old 24/7 championship.
That'd be great.
I think it would be incredible.
That would be pretty funny.
I think it would be super funny. I think we'll have that match, and then like afterwards, we're gonna reveal like Cena's next big opponent.
Yeah.
I think is probably what we're going to end up seeing. And I don't mind this. I don't mind having a little lull to just like, let Cena have fun, man. Let him wrestle whoever the hell he wants to wrestle and have some fun with it. And why not R-Truth? R-Truth's a freaking legend. He is first ballot Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. And for none of the reasons that John Cena is, but for the same reason, in that he's endlessly entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's what wrestling is about. So,
it has been for decades.
Yes. So
decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
I love R-Truth getting a little moment to shine here and getting a rub from Cena. I love it.
Yeah.
His childhood hero.
And what I think is really funny is how this has kind of been layered for a while. Like, you know, Truth, everyone was just laughing when Truth was like doing the John Cena stuff. And maybe that was just him doing his thing. But now, like, there's actual, like, you can go back and be like, oh, hey, look at this. Like, there's a little like connecting tissue here, even if it was a bit inadvertent, or maybe they did intend for it. Who knows? But like, I think all that stuff was very unique. It's different. And I did want to say before we move on from Backlash that because there's other things to talk about, which we'll talk about in a second, with the Women's Intercontinental title. People have been ragging on the John Cena story and how this whole thing is kind of played out. And I get why, but I got to applaud John Cena for doing things differently, for taking a different route. He could have easily had just like, yes, he's doing like the heel bad guy stuff, but because it's John Cena, it feels fresh and different. But because it's like being done in a manner where you know that he's gonna hold on to that belt for a while, it's hard to invest yourself. But if you're okay with just enjoying the story and the road that Cena's, or the journey that Cena's taking us on, I'm also kind of okay with that, you know, because it's just a little bit different, you know, than what we've seen in the past. Jake, I know you're
going to say something. And it's worth pointing out the stuff that happened after the match. Cena looked, I don't know, I'd almost say distraught. Yeah. I would almost say like, I don't know. He had this look about him that was just like, man, is this really how I wanted to do things? Is this how I wanted this last run to go? And just kind of being like, I mean, screw it. I still got the belt. So yeah, that's what I wanted to go. But he for a minute there looked like a man regretting his actions. He looked like a man regretting his decisions.
That clip everybody's talking about, I believe in the background, isn't the whole building chanting like, thank you, Cena?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even after he was the bad guy the whole match, like even still, because you're having a tough time. Again, I agree, GB. Like, it's interesting. It's John, because it's different. He took a risk. They're taking risk. But, like, people are also acknowledging the very real life he's done after this year. Mm-hmm. His last time,
like,
in St. Louis.
That was the last time he's going to fight Randy Orton, like, ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Most likely, unless they change something really weird at the end of this run. Yeah. But especially for that town and that city. So all these people seeing him wrestle live and in person potentially for the last time is very real, even though the character change they've made is very fictitious.
Yeah.
And different. You have a very strong juxtaposition there.
Yeah. It
you'll be contending with this whole run.
It is so, it's interesting for that reason. It's, because I don't want to say, like, wrestling isn't capable of being able to tell more mature stories. Because it is, I think. You know, it's like any other art medium. You know, I think it's
capable.
I think
so. Look at the stuff with Hangman and AEW. I think that's a mature.
I agree.
I think that's a very mature story.
Even MJF and Adam Cole. And that whole build up to Wembley about, mm-hmm. like, friendship and, like, trusting people and opening yourself up to others. It was like,
yeah,
you know, like, that's a real thing, you know, that a lot of, mm-hmm. especially a lot of young men struggle with all the time. So mm-hmm. I think, like, there is really cool aspects here. The problem is I don't know.
Sami Zayn does a lot of that.
Oh, 100%.
That kind of storytelling.
I just don't know if the audience that WWE is courting now, this very, like, I don't want to say fickle audience, but, you know, they're not as, like, invested. They're just into WWE. Like, the amount of people I just talked to, they're like, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's fun. But everyone said, I didn't really understand the John Cena stuff. And that's, like, what the broad general audience is telling me. You're like, when I'm doing an event and someone sees me and they immediately want to talk wrestling because all I do is yap wrestling on my other job, they want to talk about why this John Cena story is kind of lame. And every time I have to say, it's not actually, it's pretty good. It's just, it's different. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, for John Cena's last year, I'd just rather him do matches. So it's like, people don't really, and if he just did matches, I don't think it would go really well. I want to be very clear here. I mean, I think it would be fine, but I don't think it would be, you'd care as much, right? Yeah. I think this Agreed. Makes you care about it, but it's a matter of whether or not the audience of WWE's courting is capable of being able to care about the story that they're trying to tell here. I think they can, but right now, evidence is suggesting that maybe they need to tweak the story a little bit. And I think that this R-Truth angle might just be what the doctor ordered. I think that it could be different enough, weird enough, that it makes people, I think, like, maybe John Cena does what Brock Lesnar did to him, to R-Truth, you know, like, beat him up, like, make it really, like,
in, set an example.
And then it goes to what you were talking about before, Jake, with, does John Cena want to be this person as he wraps up his final year? And mm-hmm. I want to see them pull those threads and do that. I just don't know if, like, they can, but we'll see. I'm on board regardless. You know what I mean? I just want to see how this whole thing plays out, but I don't know. Am I wrong in that assessment of it, or am I misreading it a little bit? What do you guys have any thoughts, or we can move on?
In regards to,
just like,
if
the,
they need to make,
you just, like, the assessment that I had of, like, the audience not really,
that there being a disconnect with the audience.
Yeah. Not really understanding what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah,
go
ahead, Matt.
No, I think your committed WWE audience understands just fine.
Sure,
I think your extremely casual audience who may not, because they're not seeing every promo and everything, but, like, You're trying to cater to as broad an audience as possible, but at the same time, you can't, like, you have to write, it's still weekly episodic television, right? So you have to, like, assume a large portion of your audience is watching every week. You can't, like, do your recaps every, like, hey, at last week I said this,
yeah,
and then 2 weeks ago I said that. You can't do that every single week because that just drags. So that's the commentator's job to do those little updates and fill-ins.
Yep.
So I think a majority of the audience gets it. I don't think that's a worry. I think people who are just like tuned in for WrestleMania and then turn on Raw 6 weeks later are like, huh?
Yeah.
But I think,
but isn't that the audience WWE here. Wants?
Yeah, but that's also so does The Last of Us. But they're not gonna, you know, but you just have to tell the story that's in front of you. Yeah. Even though we want as wide and big and broad an audience as possible, you can't just like, oh, we're gonna dumb down the storytelling really in this latter half of the season here. You just gotta tell the story. And then go back and watch. It's all on Netflix.
Yeah.
go back and watch the last 6 weeks of TV.
Look, you just go find YouTube where they curate a lot of this stuff. You know?
My rule when writing is write something that I'm going to enjoy and then and hope the audience finds it. Like that's because if you start focusing on what everybody else wants, you kind of lose sight of what the whole purpose was in the first place.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I think what the disconnect is there's a disconnect between what the audience wants to see out of John Cena and what John Cena himself wants to do with his last time in WWE.
Interesting.
And I think because those don't align, that's where people are pushing back on it. Cena doesn't want to just come in and do the five moves of doom, you know,
lol, Cena wins.
Five knuckle shuffle, AA, lol, yeah. Cena wins. Like, I mean, he doesn't
been doing that for years.
And I don't think the audience wants that either. I think that they just expected to see that.
I think what it was, I think again, most of the audience who are people who watch regularly or at least watch wrestling regularly. I think the people you're talking to and the people you're hearing that from, I'm going to take a bit of a swing here. I'm going to guess those are people who watched John Cena in 2008 and all this stuff. And then not only the WWE buzz with TK that they've just had media wise, combined with, oh, John Cena's retiring. Okay, I'll turn wrestling back on for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, why is he trying to be a bad guy? Because it does feel forced. Like his performance as a bad guy sometimes feels a little hokey. Like it does feel a little forced just on a performance level. Yeah. So I think those people, which are a large portion overall, there's probably thousands of people who are tuning back in, but they are a small portion of the audience are going, wait, why is he twisting his mustache like a bad guy all of a sudden and telling us he hates us? And like, it's weird. Just do your moves, dude. Like that. I think those are those people, but I think a large majority of the audience is riding the ride and deciding as we go. I still think most people are invested in and know what's going on.
Yeah. I appreciate that they are doing different things, and I appreciate that John Cena is doing something different. And for me, that is, I think, the core of it, right? I like take risks, do things. I just think it's funny getting and hearing it from different people, you know, telling me different things that, you know, when I see them at work or whatever. And it's like purely anecdotal, obviously. So it's a small subsect of people. I just found it to be quite interesting, and we'll see where it goes. But overall, though, we're stoked for R-Truth here. So this is going to be fun, and I just have no freaking idea what the hell R-Truth is going to pull off alongside Cena with this. And I did look it up. Capital Punishment was the pay-per-view.
Punishment.
Yep.
Collision is New Japan.
Collision is New Japan, but they fought for the WWE Championship, and during the match, Cena applied the STF on R-Truth, only for R-Truth to touch the bottom rope to avoid submission. And then things continued. Cena threw a distracted R-Truth back in the ring, did the attitude adjustment, retained the title, and celebrated with a young fan in the ring. That was the thing that happened. Maybe little Jimmy comes back, actually. I want little Jimmy back. Okay, well, we'll use that as a good opportunity to move forward here and talk about some of the other surprises, because there was one that we were pretty dead set was going to happen, and it didn't, and that was Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyria Backlash, and the reason why I made this its own topic is because we have two things really to discuss. The match of Backlash, but then Becky's promo on Raw immediately after that. So not to dive too much into the match is unnecessary. It was an overall decent match, but Lyra won, and she won via surprise roll-up, I believe. So Jake, this was not the result that we had thought would happen. But it's very clear that whatever's happening here isn't particularly done yet. Is that the correct vibe I'm getting? What's your take?
Yeah, I would 100% think that's the case. No, I don't think Becky's done with Lyra. Quite honestly, I don't think Lyra's done with Becky. I think that she's also very pissed off about the person that Becky has become. This was the match of the night.
Yeah.
This match was unbelievable. And it is probably the one that I was least excited about. And it was one of those things that, like, I just kind of had it on. Like, back, the Backlash pay-per-view in general was one that I started out just having on.
Yeah, Backlash, right? was background for a lot of people.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And that's how it started for me. This match drew my attention completely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought it was tremendous. I thought it was so well done by the both of them. It was a fantastic match, and I think it's exactly what we've been needing to see out of Lyra. And I think it did very good for Lyra. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. This is what we've been needing from her to make her a more compelling character. I mean, she, like, you know, as she fought so valiant, like, she was they were exhausted, even if it was, you know, just doing work tired, but they seemed like exhausted. Like, yeah. Like, what else do I, like, both the of desperation them, what else in the match do up. I have to do to mm-hmm. put her away?
Mm-hmm.
And Lyra came out on top with a sneaky little pin and got her the win. And it was a phenomenal match. I mean, it sounded like they won the crowd over too.
Yeah.
You know, the first match the one before, which was the Fatal Four Way, people were really into that. And were excited about it because of the people involved, and this match, I feel like won the crowd over. It, like I said, it won me over.
Yeah.
It was one where I just kind of was keeping my eye on, and then next thing I know, I'm locked in. Completely, yeah. Watching this match, I was so impressed.
They're well still they like with Lyra. I like mm-hmm. that it's not, because yeah. we were worried that they too. Were just going to bail, and I don't like that. I don't. We were talking about the title change, but I will be honest. I at no point was I ever like, this is what I want. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't want to see mm-hmm. a wrestler, you know, lose something because it's just. Honestly, stuff that's just clicking. Outside of their control as or well. Because
say, yeah.
This was Lyra won the belt and then they did nothing with her. You know, just mm-hmm. had a few matches here and there, and then out of nowhere she's in this tag match and she's a tag champion. And you know, like, they did all this like really wonky, weird stuff, but it all was a thing that led to her attacking her, to then the crowd being sympathetic to Lyra, who just fought valiantly for this, to a Becky Lynch who is worried that her time might be passing by her, which seems to be a theme that they're running with lately that I'm not sure I like necessarily, because let's not get it twisted here. Becky Lynch is only what, like, 34, 35, or 35, yeah, maybe 38. Actually, no, I think idea. She's closer to my age. I think she's like 37.
Yeah.
But regardless, that's okay,
well, then
not...
to answer that question from yesterday, I am older than you.
Oh, hey.
So, but hey, she's 38. Yeah. But she's 38.
Like, that's not old. She's still very young, very capable, very good. And there's this narrative going around where it's like, oh, when you're getting older, your time's coming down. It's like, no, that shouldn't be the case. But I like that they're at least making this like story of like, does Becky Lynch still have it? Is she still capable? And she says, I am the problem. I'm going to solve this. I'm the man's going to keep you down. All this stuff. I thought it was really, really good. But I can't help but feel like, fellas, that maybe we need to add another wrinkle into this story in the form of Bayley. I think that she's got to come back into the fold here. I think this story becomes more interesting with three people in it rather than just the two of them. It seems like you guys are agreeing with that. What?
Yeah, I think that's where it's headed.
You think that's where, for sure, that's where it's headed?
100%.
Yeah. What if they don't, though? What if they just keep it tied between them, these two? I'm also okay with that as well, but I'm curious where that story goes. If it's just these two.
It would be weird to have that, like,
she got to pay off.
She said that she attacked her. Yeah. Exactly. Like then there's this loose end floating around there that's never addressed. Like
it would be a huge missed opportunity. I don't know why.
And a massive oversight, quite honestly.
Yeah.
That one of your biggest female superstars was attacked by another one. And because of that, she missed WrestleMania and her chance at winning tag team gold. And you can't just like let that go. Like there's got to be a payoff to that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think for sure that's where we're headed. I felt like that's where we're headed when Becky Lynch walked out at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely a man. Hopefully this leads us to a really good women's intercontinental storyline that we could sink our teeth into.
I think you could.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to go there. I mean, you have obviously Bayley coming back for revenge on Becky. Then I think you have this like team up of, you know, Bayley and Lyra again, but then I think there's this tension of like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't remember if and how, or if it'd be like, hey, you know, I've never won that title either. And like, I would like this tension between friends, like, hey, I got your back with Becky, but I think maybe we should have a match ourselves, but then Becky gets involved. So like, there's a triple threat where you have your baby face, your other baby face who is kind of also gunning for the title, and then your heel.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dynamics you could play with that.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, Lyra's like, kind of looking over both shoulders, even though Bayley's her friend, but she's got to be wary. You know what I mean? So you have that kind of, and then if she beats both of them, two of the four horsewomen, that really establishes Lyra as like the gal, the women's superstar.
Yeah, and it kind of plays into the horsewomen struggling, you know, like Charlotte struggling, Bayley struggling, Becky struggling, obviously Mercedes is, I think, going to be doing perfectly fine, but that's a separate company. But
even she's struggling, starting to lose her title.
Actually, you know what?
Unrelated,
but kind of related though. So you know what? Not fully off on that one. Especially if it plays into our theory that we're going to see a very cash poor Mercedes Moné. You know,
watch our AEW episode.
Well, yeah, that's right. Watch our AEW episode for that discussion.
Mercedes Poné, as we call her.
Yeah. So there is an argument to be made there, and how I would even like to see a world where Bayley and Becky are like, hey, you know what, man, you're right. Let's take this kid down. Let's do this. And then they become kind of like this team of disenfranchised horsewomen who are just like really pissed off. And then you get Charlotte in there. That actually would, I realize what we're missing. We're missing a good women's stable.
I think we said that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, you did.
That we need another good one.
And who better to form a good women's stable than Becky Lynch and Bayley? Can you imagine you do like a main event mafia type thing, but with like the horsewomen?
Or Evolution.
Kind
of with horsewomen.
Yeah. You know, I think, and then you actually can have like a story that is like overarching as well, you know, with those three wrestlers. Oh man.
But leave the horse woman name in the past and call themselves the Stone Ponies.
Or why
nay,
not
look, baby, why not, nay.
Then why not just keep the horse theme and be called the stable? I mean, it's,
I gotta say, that's kind of sick. The stable's right good. There. The stable's good. Because
we got nothing but thoroughbreds in the stable, baby. Ooh. You know?
Actually, that's fire.
That's freaking come on. That's now.
Fire. Wait, just saying, you got a recipe for
just
success here.
Just a small
here.
Royalty.
Yeah. Just,
yeah. An all man. Stable merch.
An all yeah, stable exactly. merch. Yeah, that's it. No, but I think that there is something here with that, Jake, for sure.
I don't know what it is, but something tells me we're rebooting Hugger Bailey. Like, not a full, like, kind of a mix of then and now. Yeah. Like, because Bailey was kind of going on this. I mean, we you know, heard about it on Chris Van Vliet's show, where I wonder if this is the time for her character to go on like this journey of self-rediscovery in a way. You know, what is it that made Bailey great? What is it that, you know, set her apart from the others? Can I find that again and get it back? And maybe that's
she
something
gonna eat, pray, love herself.
She could.
The Bailey Eat Pray Love wrestling version. She's gonna go out in the world, find, explore.
Eat pray pin. That's what she's gonna be doing right now. Yeah, I don't know. I just cause like she's been off program. We haven't seen her since Mania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her at all. And like I you know, storyline wise, the beating was not bad enough for her to be out this long. So to me, that tells me something else is cooking, is what that tells me.
It does feel a little odd to do Hugger Bailey reboot after she got beat up. Like, hey, I just got destroyed by someone who I thought was like, I came up with and it was a friend. I'm going to come back and smile. You know, like,
but you can still smile and kick someone's ass. I mean,
the Joker was doing it for a while, you know. So
that's what I have to look at Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah,
look at Jacob Fatu. They're smiling. They're having a great time.
Well,
I think it could even be this.
I think the theme needs to come back.
And that's what I mean. I think it's something like that. I think it's kind of this attitude of like, you know what, I'm going to make the best of this moving forward. And just because I'm happy-go-lucky doesn't mean I won't beat your ass. Like, I think we can get the underdog positivity Bailey, who still just kicks ass. Like, you can still have those.
I just want her to come out with a remix version of her old song that has, and she does the floating inflatable, whatever, the air things again. And she does the things that
wacky waving inflatable tube.
Yeah, yes, I'm so sorry about that. She does the wacky apologies waving inflatable tube man thing, flowing around and stuff. She does all of that again, but it's not like the naive, like, I'm going to hug everyone. She doesn't have like the hair done to the side the way that she did back then.
She's not a theme park character.
Yeah.
She's a wrestler.
She's back to who her roots. Maybe that's like a way to take it. Oh, go for it. Do I need to grab it? List.
No.
Okay.
This is production. This is production. This is presentation.
Oh, okay.
Becky's cutting a promo in the ring.
Ooh.
Mouthing off. I even took out Bailey. Lights out. Blackout in the arena. You hear a version of that dun, 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 whatever her old song was, but it's all minor chords. It's all heavy, scratchy guitar. Then tubes of light, white or blue perhaps, all adorn the stage, and these waving inflatable figures, but they're not smiling. They don't have waving arms. They have Punisher skulls on them.
Yeah.
And then a spotlight shows up on Bailey in all black gear.
Oh.
And then the music, everything really, it's all the big lights up. And then she hits the ring and beats. It's like Punisher Bailey.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, we bring back a little bit of that aesthetic sure, the tube men are there, the song is there, but it's twisted and it's dangerous.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah, because again,
I would love. I just want to see Becky.
I was half joking, but I kind of convinced myself.
I want to see Becky. Like, I want to see Becky giving a promo in the middle of the ring, and like you said, the lights go out, right, and then right behind her. you just see a wavy man slowly stand up behind her. Like, I think that would be fucking hilarious.
I actually think that would be great.
I kind of dig that idea a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. And I think it, I do think that we are going to get a somewhat of a new presentation.
Like Firefly Funhouse Bailey.
And you want to know where I realized Bailey might have needed a new song and a new like presentation, so to speak, was a Royal Rumble, because her theme hit and there was just like barely any reaction because people didn't know that that was really her theme. Like her theme is kind of like, and it's just like, and it's like role model. And then that's it. You're like, she doesn't really do the role model gimmick anymore. So that didn't really fit. And that was like when she was doing damage control and it didn't really fit. So it's like, I do think that there needs to be, you know, a little bit of a mix up of the character, whether or not they go in a darker route while channeling that, I think would be really fun.
What if she, in that interview with Chris, she did talk about how like the feelings of, I don't know whether it's insecurity or about the other four horsewomen and her kind of always being the kind of, well, of course she's had success, kind of the fourth wheel or whatever, or kind of like the one kind of left off the marquees, off the posters, off the manias. Whereas those other ones have really got pushed to the moon. What if she was probably run into some copyright issues, but maybe there's a, with the size of the company, maybe there's a partnership. Bailey is the Fantastic Fourth. Because she's the fourth horseman. She's the one everybody forgot about. But she should, but you shouldn't, because she shouldn't be forgotten about. She shouldn't be overlooked. She shouldn't be messed with.
Yeah. I like her leaning into that. I like her leaning into the forgotten horsewoman. You know, like something where, you know, they kind of like didn't give her the same grace that they gave everyone else, which kind of is the case, right? Because for her, like, she won the NXT title. She had like a few big moments, and she also had a few big moments in WWE. But it was always clear that, like, for Bailey, it was always like, oh yeah, she's the good guy of the group. And then when she came back as like the bad guy of the group, then you were like, oh, okay. And she's doing damage control. It was like, oh, all right. And damage control kind of like went off in their distance. And then they had the unfortunate circumstance of being, they're doing their story the same time the Bloodline story was going on, and it was just really hard for any of them to like gain any kind of traction. You saw Damage Control come out week after week and lose. It was always tough, you know. It was always a tough space to be in, because it gave her a group, it gave her a stable, and then it kind of, you know, there was a story to tell there, but it didn't grip the way that I'm sure that they were hoping it would. I think there's opportunity here for them to have that gripping story with the way things are playing out, especially after Becky cut that promo yesterday, or Monday, when she was very, like, you know, distraught, angry, and she's like, you know, I'm gonna show them how the man keeps them down. And that is a great opportunity for Bailey to kind of insert herself into a story where she has felt like she's been held down. So cool stuff there for sure. There's more meat, I'm sure, on that bone to pick later on. We'll dive into that. For now, let us go ahead and talk about our final topic of discussion here, which is what's going on with the Paul Heyman guys, the guys who are clearly establishing themselves as the big bad of Monday Night Raw. First things first, what do we even call these guys right now? There were like names that were rumored or that were being floating around, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, people thought about like a New Dangerous Alliance, referring to, you know, Heyman's old groups, Paulie Dangerously's groups.
I like the New Dangerous Alliance. I actually think it's kind of cool.
I like Revolution, since they're the,
yeah, instead of evolution.
Revolutionary, instead of the revolutionaries.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool as well. But, you know,
I mean, it's not the stable, but like
the stable goes hard. The stable does go hard. Mm-hmm. but yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening here. Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins teaming up, the way that they were speaking about, you know, like the way that Heyman kind of got, you know, hung out by his friend. There were a lot of those like very things that we were talking about where it was like CM Punk is using his friend to get at Roman and Seth Rollins. And that is not a good thing. And that is exactly how it played out. This is exactly how it played out. He was using his friend and his friend felt used. And thus he decided to go to the guy who clearly valued him, which was Seth Rollins, because he was used by Roman and he was used by CM Punk. Paul Heyman still being centered to this story, I think also still works, right? I think it's still very much like it's gripping now because Paul Heyman's the center of the story rather than it being Roman or CM Punk. Or am I misreading that?
I don't know if I'd call him the center, but he's a key part of it still for
he's
sure.
He's the catalyst of all of this though.
Yes, 100%. But I mean, at the end of the day, you can't have him be the central part. Mm-hmm. At Mania, he was the catalyst. That is a perfect way to describe it. But at the end of the day, he's not going to be the one wrestling the matches. Outside of a gimmick. So you do have to get the focus on the guys who are doing that, which are Seth and Braun and CM Punk and Sami Zayn. And
Paul Heyman is simply a parasite that found a new host. And that's all he is.
Dude, that is a good way to look at it. And he takes his sip of coffee immediately after that. He'd love to see it. I do want to float something here, though, right? Because something interesting is happening. We saw that in this interaction, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, that goes without saying. But Sami Zayn then comes out, helps, which, again, we saw interaction between these to when, like, literally the night after WrestleMania, but they also attacked Jey Uso. That's three people, right? There's only two of them because Paul Heyman's not a wrestler. There has to be a fourth guy, fourth in this group. There has to be a new person that's coming into this.
That's what we've been talking. That's what we talked about.
When they first formed. Yeah.
Because there's got to be a third.
There's got to be a third, right? They're attacking Jey Uso now. They're planting their flag in that one. Who is the third guy or the fourth guy in this case, if we count Paul Heyman in the group?
Sure.
Who is the fourth guy? Who would that be? Who is ripe to be? Because Bron Breakker kind of just got plucked out of this story and plopped right in. Right? Who's a guy who can get pulled out from whatever's going on with them and get put right in? That's what I'm wondering, because that's what it seems like they're doing. They're grabbing different people. And
I still think it's got to be a younger guy. I think it's got to be a younger guy. I don't know why I still feel like it could be someone like Carmelo Hayes.
That was one of the guys that was on my mind was Carmelo Hayes.
I don't know, but he's doing something with The Miz
right now, though, so I don't know if that's happening.
Yeah, but The Miz is about to go record American Gladiators, which I still contend you should be doing. But anyway, I don't know. He's one that keeps coming up as someone that would be good to join as well. But
Miz did say
I
was a good commentator, by the way, at G4. He said that when I was doing the thing, so I just want to throw that out there. Way to believe in me, Miz.
Anyway.
I agree with that. I think Carmelo Hayes would be a good option. That being said, there is bad blood in history between Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker. So I don't see that happening. Austin Theory. That is a good one.
I could see being Austin
Theory. But
is it
exciting?
I don't.
But that's the thing. Like, unless
Bron Breakker
it's
was exciting.
Yeah, but unless it's someone like big from NXT, like Obafemi, but it's not going to be.
Trick Williams.
I mean, maybe it is Trick. Maybe Trick.
Trick would be good. I think you'd want to get an NXT guy from NXT plop him in there. And I think Trick Williams is a good option only because it would be weird if Trick were to just come in by himself at this point with like, he need, yeah. he's someone who's kind of got to get like thrown into the picture very quickly. And a way for him to get thrown in is through a group like this.
Yeah.
Well, if it's him, he's not winning the TNA title. We know that.
Imagine if he won the TNA title and showed up with the TNA championship.
Showed up with the TNA championship.
That would be freaking insane.
That would be insane.
I don't know how I would feel about it, though. I'll keep it $150 as a TNA fan. So I don't know if I'd be okay with it. But anyway, who else then? Who from the current roster?
The thing is, you gotta, what was great about Braun is that he was on, he just lost his title, but he was on like a hot streak, like dominant, pretty dominant run as Intercontinental Champion, and like just had that momentum. That's why the Austin Theory is so down in the dumps right now. You're taking, like, it could help him get back up, but like, you, I think for something like this, you want somebody who's doing good shit, and then you take that and you blow it up.
I got it. Kevin Owens. Kevin
Owens. He's gone too long.
He's gone for a long. We ain't seen Kevin Owens for another year.
Oh wait, he's still hurt. He's actually hurt, right?
Yeah.
Never mind. I take it back.
He's legit hurt.
So no, Kevin Owens would have been nice in this story.
I mean, we brought him up earlier. Bronson Reed?
On his way back, yeah.
Actually, possibly. Bronson Reed would be a good option because because he was fighting Paul. So no, it wouldn't make sense. He was fighting the Bloodline. He was going against Heyman. So it wouldn't really track in that sense either. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, if you just want to forget about it and move on, sure. But
and he tried to kill Seth last year.
And
right?
He did try to kill
tsunami
Seth.
After tsunami. That,
but I could also be
tsunami.
A thing where Seth comes to him and says, hey, listen, I saw what you did. And sure. I respect it, and I want that in my team. That could also be a possibility, but hard to say. Here's a left field one. Okay. Jimmy?
Very left field, yeah.
Jimmy
Uso?
Jimmy's on SmackDown, right?
Yeah. Was he recently? Has he been doing anything? I don't know.
He's been doing dark matches and stuff, I think.
Jimmy's on SmackDown.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they can't move him. I mean, no, you I know. Don't. I'm more just trying to see like what wraps it together with the three guys on the other side.
I don't think he belongs in a group, but Karrion Kross.
I'm just trying to
throw out some more people. Like,
yeah.
God,
I mean, I feel
else?
Like we can run through pretty much everyone, but I think the sure. point that we're trying to emphasize here is that. There has to be another person, and we're gonna find out who this is because I feel like a six man tag match is on the horizon after
Rusev.
Actually,
I don't know where else he goes. Then
I don't know where else he would
having jobber matches kind of thing and just beating smaller people up. Yeah, narratively they haven't really set anything in.
Motion
for
him and Aleister Black,
the guys are just getting reestablished, right. And I think you want to see where that goes. This would be a good spot for somebody who we know, but maybe hasn't been on TV in like a month or two. That Austin Theory is to me too down in the dumps, like, mm-hmm. But maybe somebody who kind of hasn't been around for just like a month or two, wasn't on Mania or something like that. Or I mean, you can get a babyface who is, this is their turn.
Yeah,
you know, we keep thinking about heels on the roster. This could be a chance for a heel turn,
yeah.
For a current babyface. Is there a world where Sami Zayn?
Oh, that Sami Zayn is the one that goes over.
Says no, and you know what? Seth's right.
But like, he can't turn on his Usy though. He can't turn on his boy, on Jay.
But he could turn on Punk. But he could turn on Punk and be like, Jay, stay out of the way.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't have to get in the way. I don't know. It's a little weird, a little convoluted, but there's a story you could write.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Hear me out. Finn Balor.
Yeah, he's about to get the boot from the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to be self-contained.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go through that whole.
I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Trick Williams is a good one. I think Trick is one that actually gets a lot of attention. Problem is that show, when is main event?
When do we get Ilya Dragunov back?
Yeah, right?
He would be a good one. A good guy who you bring over, who Braun respects. Because mm-hmm. they fought each other a few times now. And there is a mutual respect between them. That actually wouldn't be a bad one. And he's a killer. And it's very clear that this is like a team. Dude, actually, Dragunov might actually make a lot of sense. In hindsight, now that you think about it. Dragunov or Trick, it's got to be an NXT guy. That's how I'm kind of weighing it in my head at this point. Right. But I'm excited. It's actually made me very compelled in this story. It's made me very compelled in their matchup at Saturday night's main event. When is that happening, by the way? Do we know the dates on that?
It's end of May, but I don't know when it is.
End of May. So that's around the corner.
I think it's like May 27th or something, isn't it? Or maybe
that's around the corner. And let's see here real fast. Saturday night's main event. Because if that's the idea, then I think you could very well see this new individual make their way into this. And this kind of gives Punk and Sammy something to do while at the same time keeps Jay occupied until he's got to face off against Gunther, right? Because that's happening for sure. And he also has to deal with Logan Paul at Saturday night's main event as well.
May 24th?
Damn.
May 24th.
And when is okay. And when is NXT Battleground?
This May 20th, that's the same night. I think we are so Under Siege for TNA is the 23rd, 24th is Saturday Night's main event, and 25th is NXT Battleground. Oh my god, it's gonna be a busy weekend.
So now I could see them doing a thing where Trick, like, it joins the team on Saturday night's main event, comes in, and they're like, oh, look at this. You know, Trick Williams now has the help of blah,
blah,
blah.
And then loses to Joe Hendry the next night?
I mean,
I think he's going to lose. I that's another thing. I don't know, but I don't think they're taking the title off Joe.
I don't think so either, but I don't know.
That would be a weird order of events.
We'll have to see. Hey, they do weird things sometimes. True. Seth Rollins was still NXT champion when he joined the Shield. So, you know, and then he defended it against Big E in Shield gear. So like, you know, they've done that. They've done odd things like that before where like, you know, kind of stopgap in between stuff. We'll see, man. But if there's one thing that we could take from this, it's exciting. This is cool. This is a good story. It's fun to see these characters interact. There's a lot of backstory here that they're leaning on to tell this tale, and it's really, really exciting. Right? I'm not alone on this, right? I'm pretty stoked to see where they go, right? Or are you indifferent? Where are we at? Matt, you're moving your shoulders around.
Like, I like everybody involved, so I'm curious, but I'm not, I won't say I'm hyped. I'm not, like, hyped. I'm like, I'm curious. I'm at like a 7 out of 10 with it.
Okay, 7 out of 10. I'll take a 7 out of 10. Jake, what's your rating? We should do this more often. We should rate.
I'd say I'm around there. I'd say I'm around there. A 7 out of 10. I'm definitely intrigued by this, and seeing where this goes. I think we're going to get an answer.
Yeah.
Probably at Saturday night's main event.
So if you had to pick before we wrap things up, now that we have this brand new rebooked rating system, what is your most excited feud right now? The thing you're most looking forward to in WWE, and how would you rate that? Like storyline, character, wrestler, like anything. Knowing now that this is an 8 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I would say, honestly, that I'm most interested in seeing the development. Speaking of what we talked about today, I'm Bayley.
Yeah,
I want to see her. That really I'm just curious how she's gonna fit in to that whole Becky Lyra situation.
Yeah.
And then this is probably a little bit after that, because if that's like an 8 out of 10, this is like a 7. So these two are the biggest like tentpole. Like John Cena and R-Truth, I think is pretty obvious, but it'll be interesting. I think I'll be more interested coming out of that, seeing who his next like major opponent is, whether it's CM Punk or whatever the hell is going to go on there.
Yeah.
But so until then, though, I think Becky, Lyra, Bailey, and then whatever's going on with Seth Braun and this group and how they're all going to do that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Also, I'm also very interested in Finn and Dom.
I was going to say, I'm actually higher on the Finn and Dom. I'm more like 9 out of 10 interested in Finn and Dom than I am in any, it like, I would say it's that. And then Rhea Io is right below that for me because I just want to know where they're going. I'm not interested necessarily in what's going on right now, but I'm interested in where this could potentially go just because it's feels very like everyone's playing nice right now. So something's going to happen, you know, that's going to like kickstart a story in a different direction. Maybe not like 9 out of 10 on that one. I'd probably say more 7 on that. And I would say I'm 8 out of 10 for this one. I'm 8 out of 10 for the Seth Rollins, for the Dangerous Alliance Redux or whatever. I'm 8 out of 10 for this because I'm like, oh, I'm like I said, I think there's another man as we had talked about before, and I'm really compelled by who that person is. So that has my attention. And I think we'll find that out at the end of the month. But yeah. And there you have it, folks. You got the ratings. Let us know. What are you excited for? And give
what
us
you, what rates?
What's your rebook what rating rates? for the current storyline that entices you or maybe doesn't? You know, just let us know. Share in the comments. We want to hear from you. Put some pickles in meat. You know, do what you got to do. All right. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but just do it. In any case, though, that is going to wrap things up for us here today. Lots of things to sink your teeth into. Nothing really definitive yet because we have so many irons in the fire. We got Saturday night's main event on the horizon. NXT Battleground could have some stuff happen there. What's our next pay-per-view that's coming up?
Money in the Bank, I think.
Money in the Bank. Oh yeah, it's Money in the Bank is coming up, and we know that it has ramifications that goes for a super long time, or it ends that night. You never know.
Isn't there a Saudi show too coming up?
Probably. I don't. Oh, Night of Champions, I think.
Yeah.
Night of, and as we've known from Night of Champions in the past, that is a show that you definitely can miss. So, because, I mean, am I wrong? Like, when was the last time a Night of Champions actually felt like a show that was worth watching? I haven't. I don't remember. I think there was that one time that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan fought Night of Champions. Was it Night of Champions or was that main event?
Maybe.
Damn, I don't remember. See, look at that. In any case, so folks, ask you to
Was the Daniel Bryan and Brock was Night of Champions.
That's right. That's right.
And then AJ Styles and Brock was also a Night of Champions.
Was that Night of Champions or was that Survivor Series?
I thought it was Night of Champions. Either way.
Either way, though, I remember those matches were good. So maybe look at that. I'm already lying to you. In any case, so we don't have an ending segment for this week. We will have one soonish. And then once we do, we'll get cooking on that. As always, though, we're down for some suggestions. If you want to join our Discord, you can do so. Leave us a suggestion in the suggestion box channel, or you can join us on general discussion where we chat about all the things, spoiler conversations, everything's all over that Discord. It's a great community. We're building it day by day. And if you want to be a part of it, you can click the link down below to join us there. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next Wednesday for our AEW coverage, Thursday for our TNA coverage, and of course, right here every Friday for our WWE coverage. We'll catch you soon, folks. Peace.